Welcome to Young Turks. It's Monday, so you know it's an enormous show. Donald Trump's in a lot of trouble for a number of reasons, including obviously the Comey hearings today. It turns out there is an official investigation into the Russians and Trump administration connections at the FBI. I told them, I can't wait to do a told you segment that's a little bit later in this first hour. Obviously, even bigger news than our president working with the Russians is Tommy Lahren has been suspended from the Blaze. It's a giant story. We will cover the important details later. Also second hour, we've got both very serious stories. Do missing white girls and missing black girls get different kinds of coverage? Also interesting stories like Katy Perry apparently tried to pray the gay away at Jesus camp. Did it work? Interesting. Okay. And by the way, apparently YouTube beginning to block some content where there's even discussion of gay matters. Wow. Okay, now that's some of the charges. We'll get into that. We'll see if that makes any sense at all also in the second hour. So a big, big show ahead, including a couple of petitions. Oh, and of course the Supreme Court fight, which I'm actually going to begin in this segment and finish in the second segment. All right, so let's get started. All right, President Trump's latest poll numbers are, of course, disastrous. Now, I say of course, but it's actually not necessarily an of course because he came in really poorly. So you would think, well, he hasn't really done much to help himself since he's come in. There's been one controversy after another. But actually, his numbers held fairly steady for a long time until now. So he'd been holding around 45%. Of course, there's all sorts of different polls. But the polling average was around 44, 45. But now we have an even bigger dip. By the way, 45% for an incoming president is, don't get me wrong, disastrous. It just got worse though. So latest numbers are in from Gallup, one of the most respected polling organizations. 58% disapprove, 37% approve. Those numbers for a new president, well, first of all, for any president is horrific and disastrous. You're 21 points underwater. Your approval rating is only at 37%. As you're about to see, that's a historic low. But the fact that he's dipping is actually the most interesting part of it. Why? That's what I want to get into in a second. But let me share context with you guys first. As the Huffington Post points out, Trump's approval rating is lower than any other president at this point in his first term since Gallup started tracking the numbers 72 years ago in 1945. So, well, that's literally historic. That's an epic fail for Donald Trump in the beginning here. Now, he loves to criticize President Obama. So, let's be fair, maybe Obama wasn't just as bad a shape back at this same exact time in his first administration. So, let's take a look at those numbers. Obama's ratings at this point in his presidency was 60%. Well, that's not quite doubling Trump, but it's getting there. The difference between 60 and 37, you don't have to do math to know, is gigantic. 60% is you're very popular, 37% is you're very unpopular. Okay, now, of course, at some point Obama dipped and he went up and down, and finished around a little above 50%. For an outgoing president, pretty good. President Bush finished in the 20s as he was leaving. So giant difference there as well. But there was a tweet from Donald Trump when Obama had reached his most unpopular numbers. That was back in 2011. And here's what Trump had tweeted. Barack Obama has a record low 39% Gallup approval rating. Why so high? Okay. Now, that was actually Obama's lowest number ever in his two terms. And second of all, there was no record at all about it other than Obama's personal record. President Bush was way, way below that for long stretches of time, let alone many other disastrous presidents. So of course, as usual, Donald Trump not saying anything factual. But really, the interesting part here is Obama at his lowest when Trump was making fun of him was at 39%. Donald Trump just knew into the White House already below that at 37%. To which I say, sad baby. Okay, now why? That's the more interesting part. So all the outlets have a lot of different hypotheses into this. The revised travel ban got blocked again, having more trouble with the courts. He has insulted all of our allies, the British with a nonsense made up theory, the Germans in an awkward interaction. There's of course the wiretapping story and how he made up that Obama had wiretapped him, which was disproved today again for the 18th time. And then of course there was the healthcare rollout and the budget. Okay. Now let me tell you what it isn't before I tell you what it is. So it is not any of the ones that are often mentioned. He insulted the German and the British. Look, you have to understand something. He has already lost all the people who didn't vote for him and they ain't never come back. Okay, so those guys have always been against him. That's the 55% disapproval that hasn't really moved, okay? And it's not gonna move in his favor with any of this stuff. We're talking about what is gonna make his 45% get lower. Now, insulting our allies, they love it. Are you kidding me? That hasn't moved the numbers at all for him in the past. His travel ban getting blocked. It got blocked before, it never, the 45% didn't move. They like the travel ban. His supporters love that stuff. So, and then you go down the list of all the other people he's insulted, not a big deal. Conspiracy theories he's made up. He's made up 13 conspiracy theories that never moved to 45%. No, the difference is actual numbers on how many people might lose their insurance. Actual numbers on people losing things like Meals on Wheels, where his own supporters go, wait a minute. Oh, you're gonna cut my program? Oh, I thought you were just gonna cut black people's programs, the ones who don't deserve it, and Latinos, I thought you were gonna kick them out, and the Muslims and all that. I thought it was about them. You're gonna cut my insurance? Oh, no, I disapprove. Ah, here we go. This is the rubber hitting the road. And by the way, in this car crash, this is just the beginning of the skid. If you think 37% is low, and it is historically low at this point in a presidency, it's gonna get much lower than that. We're going to the 20s. I don't know if we're stopping there. Because this is just people finding out that they might be affected. Wait till they actually get affected. And they're like, hold on now. I thought we're gonna be the others. But that's my program. I like that program. I need that program. That's why you need that program. And so when Trump cuts it, and he does it for more tax cuts for his rich buddies who helped finance his campaign, you're not gonna be happy. His chance of getting the people who didn't vote for him is very slim. His chance of losing the people who voted for him under false pretenses, very high. So the slide has begun. I don't know where it ends, but it might end outside the White House. Okay. Look, man, I tell you, and then later, I asked you to tell me what I told you. It has begun. Okay, so now let's go to a different issue, one that partly addresses Trump, partly addresses Democrats. Okay, I am told from time to time from the Democratic establishment that hey, we have to unify and make sure that we are fighting against Donald Trump and Donald Trump only. So please don't spend any time or energy attacking me and my corporate donors. First of all, I'd like to say no deal. Second of all, I'm gonna ask you to say no deal in a second. But their idea is no one can chew and walk gum at the same time. That was an awesome misstatement. Nobody can walk and chew gum at the same time, perhaps proving their point with that with that excellent slip. Anyway, so I don't expect, there it is again. I don't accept, not expect. I don't accept their hypothesis. Their hypothesis is you can't do two things at once. I mean, you've got to save all of your energy to fighting Trump. Now, look, why? Why can't I say Trump is doing this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, which I do every single day on the show, and I point out all the things that he's doing wrong. And at the same time say, I still don't want, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, the establishment politicians taking donor money and doing what the donors want. I don't want either. It's not that complicated. I don't want either. So since they're having trouble understanding it, I'm gonna ask you guys to sign a petition. Maybe we get these numbers up and they go, oh, right, maybe you could do both. Okay, so that's what I'm gonna ask you to do here. Join the real resistance. So what do I think is the real resistance? Let me read it to you. The real resistance is against Trump and the establishment. fighting against Trump doesn't mean that I have to do whatever the establishment tells me. We can and we will fight against both. If you agree, please sign it, tytnetwork.com/both. Both, we can do both of those things at the same time. So now the reason they tell you that is, hey, leave me alone, leave me alone. Let me just keep taking the donor money and voting with them. Let me keep not focusing on economic issues. The economic issues that actually matter most to the voters and would actually help to get Trump out of office. Don't talk about those. Don't talk about those. Those are my donors too. No, no, let's focus on Russia. And by the way, I think Russia is a legitimate issue and I talk about it all the time. But not exclusively. Let's talk about things that don't affect my donors at all. And if you pay attention, look at what the Democrats criticize Trump on. Almost never is it about economic issues, because that also affects their donors. My answer to you is we can do both at the same time. We can talk about economic issues because that does not hurt our fight against Trump. That makes our fight against Trump more likely to succeed. If you want us to close our eyes to the Democratic Party's problems so that you can go and run on the wrong platform again and lose to somebody like Trump again and lose the House and the Senate again and lose the Supreme Court again, lose 69 out of 99 state legislatures again, we're not going to do it. We're going to do both. We're going to fight Trump and we're going to fight the establishment. It is not that hard. Yes, you can do both at the same time. Go tell them. Okay, that is not a purity test and it's not a zero-sum game. It's not like, wow, I can't figure out how to do both at the same time. Watch us if you can't figure out how to do both, because we will. Okay, I have a lot more to say about that, but I wanted to get that started. Let's go, man. Let's go. That's the real resistance. So what are we going to do? Go back to the old ways so that the next election is between a Donald Trump type and a Hillary Clinton type? Fuck no. All right, you get my sense. Let's move forward. Okay, which brings us, unfortunately, to this story. Okay, if you hadn't noticed, and you might not, because Donald Trump, as usual, is grabbing all the headlines, and we find out that he's being investigated by the FBI. There's actually a Supreme Court nominee that's up right now. They're having hearings. Neil Gorsuch. He was nominated by Trump, of course, on January 31st. And he is deeply conservative. And guess what the Democrats are doing? They can't figure out how to fight him. Oh, Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you people? Okay, first let me quote Huffington Post, and then I'm going to tell you how you're supposed to fight him at the end. Democrats know they don't have the votes to stop Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch from clearing a Senate confirmation hearing, which begins Monday. That's today. But they don't appear to have a strategy or even the energy for coordinated fight against President Donald Trump's conservative court pick. What are you, Jeb Bush? You're low energy? You don't know how to fight a Supreme Court nominee? The Republicans blocked a Supreme Court nominee for almost a whole year, and you don't know how to fight one? Now, if you think, hey, wait, maybe they are editorializing there in a news article, maybe they do have a great plan, and Huffington Post and everybody else who's covering it couldn't figure it out. Okay, well, when they asked Feinstein, hey, what's your strategy about what kind of questions you're going to ask, your colleagues are going to ask, and what are you looking forward to here? Her answer was, quote, I hope the questions are good. Oh, Jesus Christ. I hope the questions are, yeah, I hope they're good too, right? And when asked, hey, are there any particular issues that you're planning to press Gorsuch on? It started today. It's not 2 weeks from now. When I first read this, I thought, oh, must be in the distance, right? No, no, it's today. What are you particularly planning to press him on? Do you have any plans? Quote, this is Feinstein, not right now. When are you going to figure it out? The hearings are happening right now. Right now. They are the worst, and I'm going to explain to you why they're the worst. Okay. Progressive advocacy groups, Huffington Post explains, have been demanding a real fight against Gorsuch, who as an appellate judge on the US Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit built a record of opposing reproductive rights, LGBTQ rights, civil rights, workers' rights, immigrants' rights, and environmental protections. You guys could pick one of those, and I'm going to tell you about the fight back, the real fight back in a second as well, because I don't know about the other progressive advocacy groups. I know that what we're a part of and what we want to do. Now, let's look at Gorsuch and his record. I mean, I just read you obviously some of it, but let's go further. Gorsuch clearly has a conservative record on the bench. Some commentators have observed he's even more conservative than the late Justice Antonin Scalia, who he'd be replacing on the Supreme Court. He was among those on a list of judges Trump announced during the campaign that was assembled with the help of the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation, two prominent conservative groups. Okay, so let me get this right. The Democrats, when it was their turn to appoint a nominee, which by the way was this one, Obama put in Merrick Garland. And what did he say? He's a moderate. And in fact, Merrick Garland was so quote unquote moderate that he had ruled in favor of Citizens United. For a so-called progressive Democratic president to nominate a guy like that is, in my opinion, unconscionable. But what did they do? Oh, Republicans, don't worry, we got a pro-Citizens United guy. We give you a moderate. Please, please vote. What's the please part? And what happened? The Republicans said, no, I don't care who he is. I don't care how moderate he is. I don't even want to know who he is. I'm not gonna give him a vote, not on the merits, just because I'm gonna play political games. Under no circumstances is he getting a vote. Now, what do the Republicans do when they're in charge? Do they put forward a moderate candidate? Russ Feingold today wrote a very good article, it's in The Guardian, about how this was a judicial coup, and that is what this is, okay? And then he said maybe they could find a consensus candidate. You think the Republicans are gonna do that? No, the Republicans are gonna find someone more conservative than Scalia, and they're gonna shove it down the Democrats' throat who are low energy and can't figure out how to fight. It is such an uneven playing field, it's grotesque. Now, I want you to do two things. One, if you're out there, I want you to sign a petition so that you can let the Democrats know how to fight, what to fight on. Let me see that petition right now. It's at nogorsuch.org. We must stop Trump from taking over the Supreme Court, and he must be blocked. I want you to read the whole thing. I want you to get involved, get in the fight, show the Democrats how to fight. So go there right now, nogorsuch.org, and get involved in that. Okay. The second thing is for the Democrats themselves. Okay, you can't figure out what questions to ask him. First of all, you could ask him about Citizens United. You know what? 90% of the country thinks that money corrupts politics, including almost all the Republican voters. Okay, you want to ask him about that? Maybe you'll touch on it. You don't want to over-focus on it. Oh, right, those are your donors too. Okay, now the second thing you do is you can ask him about Merrick Garland. So here, let's do this. This is not going to be complicated. Mr. Gorsuch, I've got a question for you. Did you agree with the policy of blocking Merrick Garland for nearly a year? Now, there's two ways. First of all, you can actually start even easier than that. Do you think the president gets to nominate someone for the Supreme Court? Duh, of course, it's in the Constitution and he was nominated by Trump. Of course the answer is yes, okay? Do you believe that the Senate must advise and consent? The answer is yes, it's in the Constitution and he wants their advice and consent, so the obvious answer is yes. So then, when we get to Merrick Garland, when President Obama nominated Merrick Garland, should the Republicans have allowed him a vote on Merrick Garland to advise and consent as is their constitutional duty? There's only two answers to that question. One is, no, the Republicans were right, they shouldn't have allowed a vote. Great, let's convene right now for almost a year until we have the same amount of time allotted for Garland as for you to not do a vote. You just told me not to do advice and consent. You just told me to block it, I'm blocking it, you're done. Go home, pack up, clean up, go home. You just said the Republicans were right to block him for a year, so I'm gonna block you for a year. We'll call that the Garland rule. Was that complicated? That wasn't complicated, right? His other answer could be, oh no, the Republicans were wrong to do that. Great, can you tell the Republican senators on this committee right now in front of the national TV cameras that what they did was unconstitutional and completely wrong? Go ahead, tell them. Well, you don't want to tell them? Which one is it? Was it wrong or was it right? If it's right, go home, clean up, go home. If it was wrong, tell the Republican senators how dangerous they are to the country because their actions were unconstitutional. Which one is it? Look, if you don't want to do the job, step aside, let me get in there and question him. Are you going to attack this guy who is more conservative than Scalia, or are you going to worry about your energy? What on God's green earth would you be saving your energy for? I used to hear this all the time during the Bush administration. Oh, the Democrats are keeping their powder dry. For what? There was a judicial coup here. You guys incompetently let the Republicans block a Supreme Court nominee for a year under a Democrat, and now you've got a Republican here who's put in somebody deeply conservative, deeply outside the mainstream, who believes that corporations are human beings and that they have a constitutional right to bribe our politicians. And you're just gonna, what, not focus on it? Will you fight, for God's sake, fight already? What is wrong with Democrats? And I'll tell you the answer. The reason they don't fight on issues that they can win on is because they're part of the same system. Well, if I question Gorsuch on Citizens United, Obama nominated a guy who was for Citizens United. Oh, maybe he wouldn't have ruled that way if he's on the Supreme Court. Maybe. Well, I mean, I'm against Citizens United, but I love my donors. I don't want people attacking the donors. Shh. Do you know what their main line of attack is going to be, according to the press? They're going to ask him if he's going to be independent enough from the president. Oh, for Christ's sake. That is the weakest line of attack I have ever seen in my life. So, okay, first of all, the average American is going to go, what do you mean independent from the president? The president picked him, he agrees with the president, I'm done with that issue. That is not an effective political strategy. Secondly, do you know how easy it is to answer? Here, watch, I'll do it. Yes, I'll be very independent from the president. Idiots. Yes, I'll be independent. How can you disprove it? That's your main line of attack? No. The Democratic Party is either grotesquely incompetent or in on it. Hey, Democrats, why don't you sit in front of my committee hearing filled with actual progressives, unlike you guys, and let's ask you simple questions. Are you this incompetent or are you in on it? Which one is it, Young Turks? All right, back on the Young Turks. I continue to be angry. I've got more where that came from. Let me read you a couple of quick tweets and then get on with it. El Duende Chingon, you see that I'm so angry, I didn't even hit that one. Approval ratings won't affect Donald Trump or his policies. He'll just call it fake news and move on. Yeah, he will, but people won't, because the Gallup poll numbers are not, in fact, fake. So good, if his approval ratings in the 30s or the 20s and he heads into an election that way thinking that they're fake, wonderful, then he will be thrown out of office and come to find out they were not fake. So this is not like the other news stories. Ironically, the poll numbers are some of the most real things that there are. So if you ignore that your own supporters are actually pissed at you, you will do it at your peril. Okay. Whereas others can be manipulated by propaganda. Okay, Sean Ferris says, just an important reminder, maybe the most important reminder, the Democratic Party preferred Trump to Bernie, full stop. Which, by the way, is absolutely true and for the same reasons. Because if Donald Trump wins, they still all have their jobs. Did anybody get fired? Did anybody get fired? I don't see anybody fired, right? If Bernie Sanders had won, he would have brought in real progressives. And some of those Democratic consultants and establishment figures wouldn't have had a job anymore. Of course they hate Bernie more than Trump. Let me say that again, because it's absolutely true. Of course, the Democratic establishment hates Bernie more than Donald Trump. That's why they fought much harder against Bernie Sanders than they did against Donald Trump. Chris Bradshaw says, Democrats didn't do shit when they swept into power in 08 and actually could have implemented their alleged agenda. Why start now? That's exactly right, because there is no actual agenda. The agenda is, hello, corporate donor friend. Can I get more money and do exactly what you tell me to do? Speaking of which, we go to Gorsuch again. I'm not done with it yet. Yes, there are important things going on in the world. Okay. So, Neil Gorsuch up for hearings today to be a Supreme Court nominee. Now, of course, the Republicans blocked Merrick Garland for a record 293 days. That is more than twice as long as any previous record for how long a Supreme Court nominee has been blocked. They blocked him without any consideration as to his merits. They refused to have a hearing on it. But here we are, they're in charge, so they're having a hearing on Gorsuch. The Democrats, of course, should fight back with everything they've got. So far, we haven't seen it yet. And in fact, when asked, Dianne Feinstein said she's not exactly sure what her strategy is, and that she's hoping for, quote unquote, good questions. Well, we're all hoping for that, aren't we, Senator Feinstein? First of all, you should sign any and every petition fighting against Gorsuch, including one put together by a lot of activist groups together, including us. We must stop Trump from taking over the Supreme Court. Yes, I agree with that. And I think that it is imperative that Gorsuch not be confirmed. Now, if you're going to have these hearings, well, you should ask the proper questions. One question would be, why should you get a hearing if Merrick Garland didn't get one for 293 days? So were the Republican senators wrong, and were their actions unconstitutional when they did that? Because either, no, they're wonderful and correct, and in which case go home for 293 days, and then maybe we'll let you have another hearing after that, because you just told me it's perfectly correct to block any nominee. Or if you say the Republicans were wrong, well, clearly explain to me the unconstitutional actions of these Republican senators sitting here. Which one is it? Okay, so that's easy, that's number one. Number two, ask him about Citizens United. I don't know if you know this, but an enormous percentage of the country, about 90% of the country, believes that money has a corrupting influence in politics. Conservative judges, including Gorsuch, don't believe that. They think the incredibly small minority. Now, when I say 90%, the country ain't 90% Democrat. Okay, Republican just won the presidency. No, that includes a gigantic percentage of Republicans, Democrats, independents, libertarians, centrists. Almost everyone agrees money has a corrupting influence on politics. Gorsuch doesn't agree. Democrats are struggling to figure out how to attack him. You might want to pick that one. You know, the one where 90% of Americans agree with you? Oh, it's so complicated. Golly gee, how do I figure out how I attack him? So ask him if he agrees with Citizens United. Now, there's two parts of Citizens United that are relevant here. They're both so easy to attack him on and to have him put on the record with insane, absurd positions that the rest of the establishment has agreed to and the Republican Party loves and conservatives in the judicial branch love, but that the rest of the country despises. So point one, do you think corporations are human beings? Now, anybody out there, if you're watching this, you know that's the most preposterous thing you ever heard in your entire life. How the hell could a corporation be a person? But Gorsuch will say, because that is the judicial philosophy today among conservatives, yes, of course. I saw a corporation the other day, I had coffee with him, he was great. I thought about having sex with him, because they're people. And then, oh, he got run over by a truck, and then I wanted to sue the guy who, what are you talking about? Of course they're not people. Of course they're not people. All actual human beings understand that. No, Cenk, you're so unsophisticated. I do that. It's a judicial philosophy from over 100 years ago, which, by the way, look into the history of it. The Supreme Court never actually ruled that. It was added in notes later after a decision, and it was added by a person who worked for corporations. Anyway, I don't want to get into the whole history of it, but they think they're so sophisticated because they're like, I do that. Like Mitt Romney said, corporations are people, my friend. It's because there are people inside the corporation. No, no. The people inside the corporation are the people. The corporation is a legal fiction. It is not an actual living, breathing entity that is due any unalienable rights. Let me quote the Declaration of Independence in case you're unclear on this. This is what they wrote. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I can go on and on, but let me ask you something. Do you really think that when Thomas Jefferson and the Founding Fathers wrote that, that they thought, well, by men, of course, we mean giant multinational corporations, and by their creator, we mean us because we created corporations? Now, nobody's going to say that the creator, meaning God, created corporations. You don't think that, right? That would be a horribly sacrilegious thing to think. No, they are a legal fiction created by men for a certain purpose. I'm not saying that they shouldn't exist. I know why they should exist, but they shouldn't have constitutional rights. That was never intended, and of course they're not people. Of course they don't have unalienable rights endowed by their creator. And of course they shouldn't have the same rights as human beings. So ask him the goddamn question, it's not that hard. And have him make a fool of himself saying to the American people, oh yeah, I saw a corporation the other day, looked just like Sally. Just looked like my friend Bob, I think he's a real person. Do you know how to do politics at all? Now, if I tell Democrats this, they say, oh no, I do declare, Cenk, you don't understand. You're such an unsophisticated Philistine. Here in Washington, we understand that the American people don't care about things like big business running amok. Wait a minute, I just saw a poll that showed that the only thing less popular than politicians in the media was big business. Oh, but Cenk, I do declare there are donors as well. Exactly, they're your donors as well. That's why you don't want to attack him. If you attacked him, it would be in reality be enormously popular. Read the goddamn polls, or if you want, I'll read them for you because you're obviously not good at this. Okay, so the second part of Citizens United, that's even more important. Does it have the, I mean, in Citizens United, they declared that giving millions, billions of dollars to politicians doesn't look like bribery at all. And the fact that they do the same thing that you gave them the money to do, no, that doesn't even have the appearance of corruption. It doesn't have the appearance of corruption. Here, let me give you some stats. In the last 5 years, 200 of the most politically active US companies, that's just 200. Not all the companies, not all the unions, not everybody who donates, just the 200 most politically active US companies spent $5 billion influencing the government. Now, well, boy, that's a lot of money, right? $5 billion. You think they're knuckleheads? You think they're wasting that money? No. Those companies received in return $4.4 trillion in taxpayer support. For God's sake, just put up this graphic, okay? And ask Gorsuch, do you think that that might have the appearance of corruption? And let the man say, no, I don't see the corruption. They gave $5 billion, they got $4 trillion. I don't see the corruption. Well, where's the corruption? They bought all you guys and then they got exactly what they wanted and more. They got a great return on investment. I don't see the corruption. Let him say it. Either you see the corruption, you see the appearance of corruption, and by the way, the actual reality of corruption, and hence you will vote against Citizens United, or you will make preposterous claims that corporations are human beings and that when they give billions of dollars to politicians and get trillions in return, there's no corruption at all. I can't even see it. For God's sake, fight. Fight. That's what we want you to do. It's not that complicated. But here's my prediction. They will graze this topic because they don't want to get yelled at. They'll graze it, okay? Do you think they're going to go full bore after this? No, because they don't want to. First of all, most of the guys on the Judiciary Committee take millions upon millions of dollars from donors, and they don't want to highlight it. Who's corrupt? It's not just the Republicans, it's a lot of Democrats too. And some of the somewhat decent people on the Judiciary Committee on the Democratic side will not want to embarrass their colleagues. If I point out that Dianne Feinstein takes millions upon millions upon millions of dollars and largely does what her donors tell her to do, well, that would be deeply embarrassing. I do declare, Jack, you have to understand how sophisticated this argument is about how I want to protect my corrupt friends. I don't find that sophisticated. I find it cowardly and craven. Are you going to fight this guy who is more conservative than Antonin Scalia, or are you just going to graze these topics and just let him walk on in after they spit in your face and wouldn't even let Garland have a hearing? My guess is you're going to let him spit in your face and let the guy walk in. Hey, Democratic establishment, I'm not the one sitting up there. You're the one sitting up there. Show me what you got. So don't come crying later and say, oh, this should be the establishment Democrat slogan. There was nothing we could do. But Cenk, you don't understand, we're so sophisticated. We play three-dimensional chess out here and we go, oh, there was nothing we could do. Fight, that's what you can do. And this is how you fight on an issue where 90% of Americans agree with you. Not that complicated. Okay. I'm just getting started. Let's go to the next story. Okay, now a little while back, Donald Trump, in one of his usual midnight fervors, decided that he was going to tweet out in the middle of the night about how Obama was wiretapping him through his microwave or whatever. In fact, here I'll give you the exact tweets now. He said, is it legal for a sitting president to be wiretapping a race for president prior to an election, turned down by court earlier, a new low? And then said, I'd bet a good lawyer could make a great case out of the fact that President Obama was tapping my phones in October just prior to the election. Later they would go on to pretend that he was just speaking generally. I believe that the word he used was fact. The fact that President Obama was tapping my phones, okay? But you know, he's a knucklehead, so his advisors keep saying, you should take the president seriously, but not literally, because he's a sociopathic liar. So all this was, of course, drivel. It's not true. And where did he get it from? We found out later he got it from Breitbart and Mark Levin, okay? Bunch of idiots who make up stuff all the time, but the president's an idiot who's also a conspiracy theorist, so he believed them, instead of actually checking with the CIA, the FBI, who are all at his disposal because he's the president. He doesn't even know he's president. That's how dumb he is. Okay, one last tweet from him at the time. How low has President Obama gone to tap my phones, of course misspelled it, during the, hey dude, double check your spelling, you're the president. All right, anyway, but it's in the middle of the night, it's 4:02 a.m. This guy, he doesn't get any sleep, this guy's a lunatic. Anyway, how low has President Obama gone to tap my phones during the very sacred election process? This is Nixon slash Watergate, bad or sick guy. These are gigantic, heavy charges against the former president. But he doesn't realize the consequences of his actions. The gravity of his words, the gravity of his position. It's just like, oh man, Breitbart told me at 4 a.m. I'm going to keep this, tweet this out. This guy's sick. Okay. Now, at the time, I did a whole story about why it was, of course, very unlikely to be true. But what he was referring to was that there might be a real investigation. But hey, knucklehead, you might not want to point that out because that's an investigation of how you colluded with the Russians. Here's what I said at the time. So this is a very interesting story, but Trump should be a little bit careful what he asked for. If you ask for an investigation into why they wanted the warrant, then you might accidentally release the evidence that they had on you. Oops. Well, here we are at oops. So they bring in James Comey, the head of the FBI, to do a hearing. Because hey, you asked for a hearing, you got a hearing. So first of all, was Obama wiretapping you? Let's find out.
Director Comey, was the president's statement that Obama had his wires tapped in Trump Tower a true statement?
With respect to the president's tweets about alleged wiretapping directed at him by the prior administration, I have no information that supports those tweets, and we have looked carefully inside the FBI. The Department of Justice has asked me to share with you that the answer is the same for the Department of Justice and all its components. The department has no information that supports those tweets.
The president accused Mr. Obama and presumably the FBI of engaging in McCarthyism. Were you engaged in McCarthyism, Director Comey?
Try very hard not to engage in any isms of any kind, including McCarthyism.
His initial charges against Obama, bunk, not true. But wait a minute, what about that idea of getting himself in trouble? Because we then find out there was a real investigation of him colluding with the Russians. Well, let's go to that section of the hearings.
I have been authorized by the Department of Justice to confirm that the FBI, as part of our counterintelligence mission, is investigating the Russian government's efforts to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. And that includes investigating the nature of any links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government, and whether there was any coordination between the campaign and Russia's efforts.
Oops. Now we have the sitting FBI director saying there is an official investigation that includes individuals associated with the Trump campaign colluding with the Russian government. Well, now what are you going to do, knucklehead? I'm talking about Donald Trump. You're going to remove James Comey from investigating you? Well, harder to do that because he just said it in public that he's investigating you. Then you look ridiculous. Now, none of this had to happen right now and in this way if Donald Trump hadn't tweeted in the first place and demanded investigations. Oops, I told you. Look, one part of the I told you is the immediate one. Don't open up this can of worms, it's going to come back to bite you. And of course, he's an idiot, didn't listen. The second part is, I told you there is no great plan behind Donald Trump and his tweets. It's not some brilliant strategy where then, okay, and after he tweets that and he diverts attention to this instead of that, and then he's so clever. There's no clever. He's an idiot. It's that simple. Okay, so now he recognizes his mistake. Now he's trying to tweet in the other direction. So today, as the hearings are going on, he tweets the real story that Congress, the FBI, and all others should be looking into is the leaking of classified information. Must find leaker now. And the story's fake news, everyone knows it. Also, by the way, 3 a.m, 4 a.m, etc. So even before things got started. Because then Breitbart must have told him, hey, sorry about that other thing, because it turns out he's going to say on the record that he's investigating you. You really screwed up. Don't investigate that. I meant don't investigate. No, what wiretaps? What am I? The Russian stuff is fake news. A little too late, Donnie. A little too late. And then he tweets again. Democrats made up and pushed the Russian story. as an excuse for running a terrible campaign. Big advantage in Electoral College and lost. So, Donnie, cat's out of the bag. Sad day for you. So now we all know there's an official investigation of how you might have colluded with the Russian government. By the way, if you're wondering, hey, what's the big deal? Well, there's two sides to a trade. The Russians want Trump in, and you think, well, the other side of the trade is Trump gets to be president. I'm telling you, that might not be the only side of that trade. Because Trump, what does he care about the most? Money. So let's see where that investigation goes. And from time to time, they like to quote, and some of our hosts too, do as well. James Clapper, for example, saying recently that there's no evidence of collusion yet. Well, that's saying, hey, have you finished the investigation and you have hard evidence yet? Well, he hasn't finished the investigation. So saying that there isn't evidence yet to definitively prove that Trump and the Russians had an exact deal doesn't mean that that evidence doesn't exist. It means that we have not finished our investigation. By the way, it also doesn't mean that this is the only reason the Democrats lost. The Democrats are incompetent. They lost for 1,000 different reasons. They lost to an orange buffoon who almost any of you, like literally, could have picked a random dude from in the middle of the country and beat this clown. Okay? And the Democrats lost to him for many reasons. So it is not an excuse for the Democrats. Doesn't mean that he didn't also do a deal with the Russians. So now, hopefully, we'll get to find out because there's an actual investigation, which Donald can't take back. All right, but I'm going to add one last thing here, which is fun, or two last things. One is they asked Peter King. Peter King's no genius either, but a Republican congressman from New York. But he's got enough political sense to be like, backpedal, backpedal, backpedal. Here, watch.
Do you want the White House to drop this altogether? Is it time for them to move on?
Well, I wish the issue hadn't been raised because, quite frankly, this hearing would have been going ahead anyway this week or next week, and we would have been focusing on the extent of Russian influence in the election, which is a real issue. I think it was something that, in the extent that there could have been information that worked its way to the media, worked its way to Democrats that came from either investigations or surveillance or whatever, but to overshoot it by saying that President Obama intentionally didn't know it, I see no evidence.
So what should the White do now? Should they completely walk it back? Should the President of the United States apologize to his predecessor?
I'm going to get through today's hearing first. I'm not going to tell the President what to do, but I wouldn't have said it in the first place.
Wouldn't have said it in the first place. I told you, there is no grand strategy. He's just stupid. So speaking of which, in the middle of the hearings, he tweets out, the NSA, and use the official POTUS account too on top. The NSA and FBI tell Congress that Russia did not influence the electoral process. So since he did it in the middle of the hearings, they then turn to Comey and they go, is that true? Is the FBI saying that they did not influence the electoral process? Comey responds, it certainly wasn't our intention to say that today because we don't have any information on that subject. Basically saying the same thing I said just a little while ago, which is, no, the investigation is not concluded. I can't tell you anything about the investigation. If you're asking me for evidence within that investigation, I'm not going to give it to you because we're in the middle of the investigation. But if you say, as Trump just did, that there is no such evidence, and I'm saying that, no, I cannot confirm that. Obviously, there's evidence. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing the investigation. And then you force them to say, yes, there is evidence. I just can't tell you what it is. No grand strategy. Just an orange buffoon sitting up in the middle of the night without a clue as to what he's doing. And if you think he wasn't stupid enough to do an actual deal with the Russians, quid pro quo, you don't understand the man at all. Okay, now, I gotta take a quick break. I still have huge stories for you guys, including, Definitely Tommy Lahren and Glenn Beck and that nonsense. And then we've got to do Donna Brazile. Giant day of news today. Donna Brazile admits that, in fact, we were right all along. She did leak the questions to Hillary Clinton. So let me tell you that story when we return. All right, back on the Young Turks. Three quick tweets here. They're all good. Andrew says, let's not forget founders went after a large corporation, East India Trading Company. They hated corporations like government. Go read the Founding Fathers and what they said about corporations. Here, I'll summarize it for you, which was, watch out, okay? It's not like they didn't exist back then. It's not like they didn't warn us. They did. Adam Gladwin said, need the Told Your graphic on a t-shirt, you're going to be using that a lot in the near future. Yeah, unfortunately, you're probably right, Adam. There will be a wit says, look for Donald Trump to tweet a new crazy theory soon to deflect from all this bad press. I'm not surprised by that either. I'll throw one last one. And your mama says, if corporations are people, maybe we should start rumors they're minorities so they can be heavily targeted by law enforcement. That's funny. Okay, nice job, your mama. Okay, so let me go forward here. Donna Brazile was challenged by our own Jordan Chariton that she had leaked emails, or she had leaked questions, I should say, to Hillary Clinton before one of the debates. And this was in some of the leaked emails that we found out through WikiLeaks. Now, Jordan was the first person to notice those emails among the WikiLeaks documents. He was the first one to tweet about it publicly. He was the first one to ask CNN about it. He was the first one to ask Donna Brazile about it. And he broke this story. And at the time, Donna Brazile denied it. Well, the story has changed now. She now says that she regrets it. Now, I'm going to show you exactly what she said in regards to changing her story. But first, even Fox News Channel gives credit to Jordan and showing exactly how Donna Brazile misled on the story. So here, let's go to that clip real quick. And our clip is within the Fox News segment here.
What Donna Brazile did was shameful and treasonous to our political system and stability, even threatening to journalism in America. At least CNN, for their part, demanded her resignation immediately. But let's now take a look at what she told Jordan Chariton on the street, denying those accusations. Listen.
Do you owe the voters an apology for passing a question for a town hall off to the Hillary Clinton campaign?
Sir, you know what? I wish when you got your facts, you read the emails. And
I did read a lot of them.
Well, you clearly did not read my email, sir. No one has ever shared questions with any of us involved in CNN.
In fact, Greg, Donna Brazile denied it on several occasions.
So, Young Turks broke that story, and it turns out we were right. Now, Donna Brazile writing in Time saying, look, first she tries to give it context. She says, referring to the Russian hacking of the DNC emails in the first place, she says, these malicious attacks were not a momentary cyber intrusion. These attacks were coordinated by a foreign adversary and executed for over a year with devastating results for those of us who were targeted. And ultimately for every American. And she was targeted. So let's give a proper context here. Number one, Bowling goes way over the top by saying it's treasonous. It was wrong. We were the first ones to point out it was wrong. We were right to get CNN to take action on it. I think they were right to remove her. Treasonous is needlessly over the top. Okay, now, secondarily, by the way, doing an actual deal with the Russians, that's what you would call treasonous. Now, let's see if there's more investigations that come out on that. What we found out today through James Comey, that in fact the FBI is investigating just such a deal. And that's what Donna Brazile is referring to here. Now, the people have broken off into two different camps here. One is the Russian leak, Russian interference in our election is no big deal. And it's all fear mongering. And we should not worry about that at all. We should not focus on that at all. And the other camp is the Russians did it, and that's the only thing we should focus on, and that's the only reason the Democrats lost the election. I'm not in either one of those camps. I think the Russians did clearly interfere in our election. They didn't hack the vote, they leaked emails. The emails were true. We should investigate if the Trump administration actually, or in the past, of course, the Trump campaign coordinated with the Russians. If they did, again, that would be a much more serious crime. And luckily, the FBI, apparently, we find out today, is investigating that. That doesn't mean that Donna Brazile was right in leaking questions to Hillary Clinton. She frames it as helping the Democratic Party, but if it was helping the Democratic Party, why didn't she also leak questions to Bernie Sanders? Okay, now let's go to her clarification slash apology here. She said, then in October, a subsequent release of emails revealed that among the many things I did in my role as a Democratic operative and DNC vice chair, prior to assuming the interim DNC chair position, was to share potential town hall topics with the Clinton campaign. I had been working behind the scenes to add more town hall events and debates to the primary calendar, and I helped ensure those events included diverse moderators and addressed topics vital to minority communities. My job was to make all our Democratic candidates look good, and I worked closely with both campaigns to make that happen. But sending those emails was a mistake I will forever regret." Okay, so there you have it. So for the folks who said, "Oh no, TYT, you don't know what you're doing. The WikiLeaks is all wrong. It's all Russians and this and that." You were wrong. Those emails were real. She did leak the questions to Hillary Clinton, and now she says she regrets it. Now, she tries to give it context and say, "Hey, look, I did other things that were really good." And guys, that's true. This is not the only thing Donna Brazile has ever done in her life. She's done a lot of great things. And she's largely on our side, meaning the progressive side. And that one thing does not erase her entire record. But that also does not excuse what she did. No matter all the great things she did in the past, this was clearly a terrible mistake. And I do not accept it was just to help the Democratic Party. Because if it was, like I said, you would have leaked equally. You would have also told them to Bernie Sanders, but you didn't. So now she gets more into that. She says, "By stealing all the DNC's emails and then selectively releasing those few, the Russians made it look like I was in the tank for Secretary Clinton. Despite the strong public support I received from top Sanders campaign aides in the wake of those leaks, the media narrative played out just as the Russians had hoped, leaving Sanders supporters understandably angry and sowing division in our ranks. In reality, not only was I not playing favorites, the more competitive and heated the primary got, the harder DNC staff worked to be scrupulously fair and beyond reproach." Again, agree and disagree. You have to look at the whole record, and I'm sure that she can point to areas where she was fair and even, and the Sanders campaign to some degree agrees with her. So they're not making it up, and she's not making it up. On the other hand, there were other times when she was not fair, when she leaked to only one side. And it's not great evidence to say that the Sanders campaign didn't complain much. The Sanders campaign, if you ask me, didn't complain much about anything. So they still played within the Democratic rules, and they were way, way too polite in how they fought back against Hillary Clinton. That is my opinion. So now, in terms of what happened, again, it doesn't really change any of this. Yes, it is true that the Russians did, in some way, according to our best intelligence, help in some way to release those emails. Some say there's still not enough evidence. That I don't care. The emails are true. And I am worried that the Russians and Trump campaign work together. FBI is investigating that. Okay, but overall, the point is, you shouldn't have leaked the emails to Hillary Clinton, because that's exactly what people were complaining about. And as you say, they are justifiably angry, because it looked like the entire Democratic establishment was unfairly on Bernie Sanders' side. Because they were. Final piece of context, she says, "Let me be clear, this is not just the price of politics. This is not normal. We cannot let this stand," referring to the Russian meddling. "Our democratic process itself was attacked and harmed, and all Americans should be concerned." On that, I agree with her. Now, for those of you who say, whether you're right wing or left wing, and say, no, it's all excuses, I don't care, I'm not going to listen to you on Russia, Okay. Well, what if next time, because we didn't do anything about it this time, the Russians picked their candidate and the Chinese picked theirs? And they're both interfering in the elections. And all of a sudden, what the hell? We became the puppets of other people. Oh, well, and the Saudis love this candidate, and the Norwegians would like to purchase that candidate. No, that is incredibly dangerous. Guys, all I'm asking is for something that I find to be very, very simple. We can do two things at once. We can be mad at the Russian interference and still be mad at the Democratic establishment for clearly, unfairly supporting Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders, which, by the way, then helped the Russian cause. If Bernie Sanders was the candidate, according to the polling, he very, very likely would have won, which would then have foiled the Russians. But of course, that did not even occur to the Democratic establishment. Okay, last of all, we go to Howard Kurtz, who has somehow butted into this story. I'm partly amused by this, but partly he's onto something that's important. Let's watch.
When leaked emails last year showed that Donna Brazile had shared CNN town hall questions in advance with the Clinton campaign, and this was while she was a CNN contributor and the DNC's vice chair, I called her, and she insisted to me that She hadn't leaked the questions. In other words, she lied to me. Brazil now admits in a Time essay to sharing the questions with the Hillary camp, saying sending those emails was a mistake I will forever regret. But she does not apologize, especially to CNN, the network she betrayed, and to the journalists she deceived, sadly, including me.
All right. I don't know how Howard Kurtz got into this story, but he is right about one thing. I mean, if we're doing a real mea culpa and airing out all sides of this issue, and if any reporters owed an apology, I believe it would be Jordan Chardon, investigative reporter for the Young Turks. The entire time they fought against him and smeared him as if what he was doing was outside of the bounds of acceptable reporting. Turns out he was right all along. It might be a nice moment to come back around and go, my bad, you were right, I was wrong. It's not just important for the purposes of the Young Turks or Jordan. He'll be fine either way. But boy, would that actually be great closure to be able to move on beyond this so we don't just look at issues through one lens and move on to fighting together instead of separate. That's my humble suggestion. Okay, now let's go to a quick story about Trump voters being disappointed. So Donald Trump came out with his budget recently. It viciously cuts many different departments, Health and Human Services, the EPA, by over 30%. But hey, you got to add $54 billion in bloated defense spending so the defense contractors can get rich. So come to find out by some of his supporters that it turns out some of those cuts might affect them, including Meals on Wheels. Now, before we get to the disgruntled Trump voter, which I, sorry to say that I love, I want to show you Mick Mulvaney in case you're confused. This is the guy who is the head of the Office of Management and Budget. He's the one that has proposed the budget and is the main guy defending the budget. You'll see in this clip, he mentions Meals on Wheels and basically says, hey, if you don't like it, tough. Here, watch.
We can't spend money on programs just because they sound good.
They don't work. A lot of them simply don't work.
Great. Meals on Wheels sounds great.
But a lot of those programs that we target at, they sound great, don't they? They always do. We don't put a bad name on a program.
No, I think you know that Meals on Wheels is not a federal program. It's part of that community, that CDBG. We're going to spend money. We're going to spend a lot of money, but we're not going to spend it on programs that cannot show that they actually deliver. I think it's probably one of the most compassionate things we can do to actually
help the elderly.
You're only
kids.
Focusing on half of the equation. That we can't do that anymore.
I can't go to the auto worker in Ohio and say, please give me some of your money so that I can do this program over here someplace else that really isn't helping anybody. I can ask them to help pay for defense
and say, look, we want to give you money for programs that don't work. I can't defend that anymore.
Can you talk about where you're concerned that perhaps some of these cuts may hurt Americans' lives, if anywhere?
No.
And I think that is about as compassionate as you can get.
Agree to disagree on that, brother. And then you can get a little bit more compassionate than that. Now, if they do cut Meals on Wheels funding, and this budget is a proposal that has to go through the process, it would hurt Meals on Wheels tremendously. They get 35% of their funding from the federal government. And as we saw with Acorn, even if your whole budget isn't the government, but it's a sizable chunk, you just might not be able to meet costs and you might go under completely. So we'll see how that develops. My favorite part of that clip was when he said, look, how am I going to tell the auto worker to pay for these programs that aren't helping anybody? By anybody, I think he means anybody who is relevant to us, like our donors. I mean, it helps real Americans. Were we planning to do that? I don't think so. No, we're going to do defense spending instead. So now, turns out some Trump voters do get Meals on Wheels. And when they found out about this, they were none too pleased. Just give you a sample of one person here.
After a stroke left her in a wheelchair, Meals on Wheels delivers to her every weekday. Like most residents in Jones County, she voted for Donald Trump.
Are you surprised?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he was told I was under the influence that he was going to help us.
What would you tell him to convince him not to cut this program?
What if it was your mama?
Yeah, but it isn't his mama, it's you. And if you thought Donald Trump was on your side, boy, have I got bad news for you, Linda. So that's Linda Priest thinking, well, I thought he was going to cut somebody else's program, not my program. Turns out it was your program and a lot of other people's. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, wait till you get a load of all the devastation that comes from all these different cuts that affect so many different people. You know, Meals on Wheels has delivered over hundred million meals a year. Yeah, Linda. It's your programs that get cut too. Wait till you see the 24, 26 million people who lose health insurance. I don't know if you know this. They're not just cutting health insurance for black people and brown people. They're cutting it across the board. So that's why President Trump's approval ratings today all of a sudden took a big dip and are at 37% as people begin to realize, oh, right, the guy who says he's a billionaire and kept bragging throughout the election about, I bought all these politicians and they did me favors. Yes, he's part of the elites. He was part of the corrupter before, and now he's part of the corrupted. And what their interests are not your interests, Linda. They're all of their millionaire class friends and multinational corporations. Tip of the iceberg. Okay, now, finally, we move on to what the internet is ablaze about. Okay. In a day with Gorsuch and the Comey hearings, everybody's talking about this. This is unbelievable. All right, anyway, I'm going to feed into it. Let's have fun. Okay. Now, recently, Tommy Lahren went on TV, apparently auditioning for a place that isn't called The Blaze, and said, me, conservative? No, I'm actually very moderate. Here, I'll give you an example. She said, I'm pro-choice, and here's why I am a constitutional, I don't know what that means, but she's on live TV, we'll cut her a break on that one. She says, you know, someone that loves the Constitution. I'm someone that's for limited government, so I can't sit here and be a hypocrite and say I'm for limited government, but I think the government should decide what women do with their bodies. I can sit here and say that as a Republican, and I can say, you know what, I'm for limited government, so stay out of my guns, and you can say I'm out of my body as well. Now, is that a concept that I generally agree with? Yes. Did Tommy Lahren always have that position? Does Tommy Lahren really always have any position other than, look at me, daddy, look at me? Is the whole internet looking at me yet? Okay, so apparently Glenn Beck and I share that concern because he took action today. Ooh, what's the action against Tommy Lahren? I'll tell you in a sec. She said also at the time, she tweeted, I have a moderate conservative and libertarian views. I'm human. I will never apologize to anyone for being an independent thinker. Okay, well, then Glenn Beck tweets back at her. If you don't know this, Glenn Beck is her employer. He runs The Blaze. She works for The Blaze. He tweets back, wait. Libertarian views? Help me out on Trump care, stimulus, and executive orders. Trump is anything but libertarian. Hashtag intellectual honesty. Ooh, shots fired. This is getting fun. Okay, so I have a lot more on this, but first, let me tell you what happened. Tommy Lahren has been suspended from The Blaze. What is this? Okay, so is this the only reason why? Because she was pro-choice. And again, I'm not entirely convinced that she's always been pro-choice, and neither is Beck. So let's give you more here. The Daily Caller first reported on this. Lahren's inflammatory, oftentimes angry style has placed her increasingly at odds with coworkers at The Blaze. The Daily Caller has learned a situation that's worsened after she called pro-life conservative hypocrites. Okay, I love the Blaze being concerned about inflammatory behavior. Glenn Beck got kicked off of Fox News for being inflammatory. So this is the Fox News of the Fox News complaining, well, that bitch be crazy. Okay, all right. So Beck then went on radio and said, if you're pro-choice, you can have a job at The Blaze. I don't hire people who are sycophants. I try to hire people who have a different opinion. I don't want straw men. I think he kind of misunderstands what straw man means. Anyway, sure, I mean, they often disagreed. Glenn Beck was against Trump. Tommy Lahren was for Trump. So I'll take him at his word on that. He continues, The Blaze cannot be about me. It's no secret that Tommy and I don't agree on quite a lot, but that is about personalities. Okay, so far, so fair. He says, then Mediaite explains, Beck suggested that Lahren had flipped on abortion for opportunistic reasons, playing clips where she seemingly had been pro-life. Drums, further shots fired. So that's exactly what's wrong with the culture today in terms of the media. If you say something completely outrageous, everyone pays attention. So it gives people an incentive to say things that are outrageous, and you're hypocritical, you change your position, whatevs. Did I get the clicks or did I not get the clicks? Beck goes further. He says, I would disagree that you're a hypocrite if you wanted limited government, yet you want the government to protect life of the unborn. It's very, very clear, but it takes intellectual honesty, and it takes a willingness to actually think these things through and do more than just read Twitter or Facebook to get your news. Shots fired. And your political opinions. You actually have to study things, these things out in your mind, especially at a time period like today. Okay. So I think Beck is wrong on the pro-life, pro-choice issue, of course. But I like how he's like, oh, did you get your news on Facebook and Twitter? I mean, that's a low blow, right? I don't know where Tommy gets her news. Fair question. And if I was her boss, I might want to ask too. But to do this in public? Oh. Okay. He goes on to say, bomb throwing in today's world is dangerous. Freedom of speech is not free. Speech isn't free. It comes with a very high price tag. First, being intellectually honest and intellectually curious. Oof, man, he is. Okay, speech is not free, he continues. It comes with another cost and usually to the other people at the other end of your argument. The pen is mightier than the sword, and it can destroy people if your aim is clicks, views, and ratings. So, not happy with Tommy Lahren, no question about it. To make this public is kind of amazing. And finally, he says, the ideas are important. If you can't defend the idea, that leads to the second part of the discussion, which is the people calling for Tommy to be fired. Now, her contract runs through September. She's now been suspended for a week. Whether that leads to her to being fired is another question. Now, which side am I on? Well, and it's a Hobson's choice, really, right? Of course, the answer is neither. But let me explain that in some ways I agree with both of them, in some ways I disagree. So on the actual issue of libertarians being giant hypocrites and conservatives being giant hypocrites for being pro-life, yes, I agree with Tommy Lahren. They're enormous, enormous hypocrites. I want small government, but I'd like to be inside your womb. That is not small government. I'd like to get between you and your doctor. That is not small government. You can make an argument for a pro-life position. I don't agree with it, but you make an argument. You can't then claim that it's for small government. Now, you have to raise your hand and say, look, I'm going to be intellectually honest. Glenn, you might appreciate that. And say, okay, this is why I make an exception. I think the life of the baby is super important. I think the baby happens when it's the sperm and the egg first wave high at each other, right? Or whatever you think happens and when life starts. But I understand that that is a giant, big government position because I will get inside your uterus. Just be honest about it. And Beck and the rest of the conservatives and libertarians are nowhere near honest about it. So score one for Lahren there. On her switching her positions for convenience and doing things for ratings and clicks, I'm going to score that one for Glenn Beck. From day one, the minute you saw Tommy Lahren saying any of these things, I mean, we found tweets of her in the past sounding perfectly liberal, like, let's party, go nuts. I don't even want to get too crass on the stuff she was saying, yada, yada. And by the way, you can party and be a conservative, I get it, but her tweets at the time did not seem to match her political motivations today. That's why she deleted them. Now, if there was a perfect match, why would you delete them? And by the way, people can change their opinions. I've changed my opinions on things, but the question is, what is your motive? If you're changing because you came to that conclusion and you explain why you came to that conclusion, God bless. If it's like, well, I don't know, what's hot? What's hot? I'm going to attack Black Lives Matter. Boo, they're black. Blah. Colin Kaepernick, oh my God, he's not standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Oh, Trump, Trump's popular. Trump's awesome. Black people suck. Trump's awesome. Is she doing that to get clicks? Of course. Of course she is. And unfortunately, our entire media culture is rewarding her. As usual at the Young Turks, we tried to fight it. We banned Ann Coulter and Donald Trump before. How'd that work out? Years ago, right? But this culture has subsumed all of the people who are trying to do the right thing. So the Tommy Lahrens of the world get all this attention. And could there be a little personal drama here too that Beck's a little worried about being outshined? Especially in the niche that he built for himself, which is crazy right wing. He's like, man, I thought I had really had that covered. Okay, yes, that's also possible. So overall, don't be a hypocritical libertarian or conservative. Just be a progressive, better way. Second of all, don't do things just for ratings and clicks. So agree and disagree with both of them on different counts, whether she should be suspended. Well, it's Beck's, hey, if you're a capitalist, It's Beck's show. It's Beck's network. He owns it. It's not a freedom of speech issue. He doesn't have to put her on, and apparently he's not going to for at least a week. So my guess is Tommy will be fine. Everybody's saying Fox News, probably not. There's two likely choices for her. One is mainstream media, who's like, oh my God, I need Trump supporters. I need some sort of conservatives. I'll do anything. Yes, sure, you blonde woman over there who says outrageous things, obviously on purpose without meaning it. Come on in, come on in, right? Or there's always Breitbart, Young Turks.